بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. اسال اخوانكم بمكتبة واحدين ان يرحبوا بفضيله الشيخ عبد الله بن صلفيخ الضفيري حفظه الله تعالى في هذا الدرس الثالث من دروس كتاب نواقض الاسلام لشيخ الاسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى، والذي يتابعه المستمعون في جزر البحر الكاريبي وامريكا واستراليا وغيرها من الدول. فليتفضل الشيخ مشكورا ماجورا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فهذا هو الدرس الثالث من دروس نواقض الإسلام، حيث كان الدرس الأول مقدمة عن النواقض وأهميتها ومعرفة نواقض الإسلام حتى يحفظ المرء دينه. وكان الدرس الثاني أول نواقض الإسلام، وهو الشرك بالله عز وجل. وهذا درسنا الثالث، وهو بيان الناقض الثاني من نواقض الإسلام. قال شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى مبينا الناقض الثاني، فقال: ومن جعل بينه وبين الله وثائق يدعوهم ويسألهم الشفاعة ويتوكل عليهم كفر إجماعا. قوله من يتخذ بينه وبين الله وثائق، أي وثائق من الخلق يتوسطون له عند الله بزعمهم. فمن قال لا بد من واسطة بين الله وبين خلقه، فإنه يسأل ما هو مقصوده بالواسطة، لأن المسألة فيها تفصيل كما ذكر شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. فإن كان المقصود من الواسطة أنه لا بد لنا من واسطة في تبليغ الرسالة فيما بيننا وبين الله، فهذا صحيح، هذه واسطة لا بد منها، من أنكرها فقد كفر. الله سبحانه وتعالى جعل بينه وبين خلقه رسلا من الملائكة والبشر يبلغون شرع الله ويبلغون وحي الله، ومن ادعى استغناءه عن هذه الواسطة فهذا قد كفر إجماعا، لأنه لا يمكن معرفة ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الشرع الذي ارتضاه لنا وكيف نعبده إلا بالرسل. وجعل الله بينه وبين أنبيائه رسلا وهم الملائكة، وجعل بينه وبين الخلق رسلا وهم الأنبياء والمرسلون. هذا النوع الأول من أنواع الواسطة، فهذه ثابتة. وأما الواسطة من النوع الثاني، فإن من أثبتها كفر إجماعا، وهو أن يدعي الناس أنهم يتخذون واسطة بينهم وبين الله، يدعونهم ويطلبون منهم الشفاعة ويتوكلون عليهم في جلب النفع ودفع الضر. فهذه الواسطة إثباتها كفر بالله سبحانه وتعالى. الله ليس بينه وبين خلقه واسطة في عبادته، يجب علينا أن نعبد الله وأن ندعوه مباشرة وبدون واسطة، وأن نطلب منه الشفاعة بدون واسطة، وأن نتوكل عليه في جلب النفع ودفع الضر بدون واسطة، كما أمرنا الله بكتابه فقال: ادعوني أستجب لكم. فلم يقل الله عز وجل: ادعوني بواسطة فلان أو بواسطة الملك أو النبي أو الولي أو الحجار أو الأشجار أو غير ذلك. فهذه الواسطة من أثبتها فقد كفر، وهو أن يجعل بينه وبين الله وسائط يصرف لهم شيئا من العبادة من أجل أن يقربوه إلى الله، كما يقول المشركون من قبل ويعبدون من دون الله ما لا يضرهم ولا ينفعهم، ويقولون هؤلاء شفعاؤنا عند الله، فسمى الله فعلهم عبادة. وقال تعالى: قل أتنبئون الله بما لا يعلم في السماوات ولا في الأرض سبحانه وتعالى عما يشركون. فسمى الله هذا شركا ونزه نفسه عنه، وهذا هو حال عباد الأموات والأضرحة الآن، يتخذون الأولياء والصالحين وسائط عند الله، يذبحون لهم عند قبورهم وينذرون لهم ويستغيثون بهم ويدعونهم من دون الله. وإذا قيل لأحدهم إن هذا شرك ادعوا دعاوى وشبه شيطانية قالوا: هؤلاء وسائط بيننا وبين الله، ونحن لا نعتقد أنهم يخلقون مع الله ويرزقون مع الله ويدبرون مع الله، وإنما اتخذناهم وسائط بيننا وبين الله، يبلغون الله حوائجنا فيذبحون لهم ويعظمونهم وينذرون لهم بحجة أنهم وسائط بينهم وبين الله. وهذا هو الشرك الأولي الذي وقع به المشركون وكفرهم الله وحكم على تخليدهم في النار، وبين أن هذا الفعل لا يغفره الله عز وجل، كما قال تعالى: والذين اتخذوا من دونه أولياء ما نعبدهم إلا ليقربون إلى الله زلفى، أي يقربون إلى الله باتخاذهم وسائط، إنما يقربوننا إلى الله. فالله سبحانه وتعالى بين بطلان هذا الفعل وسمى فعلهم كذبا وكفرا، فقال عز وجل: إن الله يحكم بينهم فيما هم فيه يختلفون، إن الله لا يهدي من هو كاذب كفار. فالذين اتخذوا وسائط من دون الله سمى الله فعلهم كذب، سمى الله فعلهم كذبا وكفرا، وحكم عليهم بأنهم كذابون كفار. وهناك اتخاذ وسائط تكون بدعة ولا تكون شركا، وهم أنهم يعتقدون أن الوسائط سبب، لا يدعونها ولا يذبحون لها ولا ينذرون لها، ويعتقدون أن العبادة لله ولا يعبد إلا الله، لكن يتخذون هؤلاء وسائط على أنها أسباب يقربهم إلى الله بزعمه، ويسألون الله بجاههم وحقهم، فهذا العمل بدعة وهو وسيلة إلى الشرك، لأن الله تعالى لم يأمرنا باتخاذ الوسائط في الدعاء وطلب الشفاعة، وليس هذا سببا لإجابة الدعاء بأن توسط بينك وبين الله صالحا من الصالحين أو نبيا من الأنبياء والمرسلين، وهذا قول على الله بلا علم. الله عز وجل لم يتخذ هذا سببا مشروعا بأن تدعو الله عند رجل صالح أو تتخذه وسائط يقربونك إلى الله، فهذا أمر بدعي وهو وسيلة للوقوع في الشرك. الله تعالى أمرنا بدعائه ولم يأمرنا باتخاذ وسائط وواسطة بيننا وبين الله، فيجب التفريق بين الحالتين، حالة من يعبد الوسائط ويذبح لهم وينذر لهم ويتقرب إليهم، فهذا شرك أكبر لأنهم عبدوهم. والحالة الثانية من لا يعبدها وإنما يتخذها بمثابة وسائط تبلغ حاجته لله عز وجل بجاهها وصلاحها ومكانتها عند الله، فهذا باطل وهو بدعة، لأنه إحداث شيء في الدين لم يأذن به الله وهو وسيلة من وسائل الشرك، وإنما الذي شرعه الله لعباده أن يدعونه مباشرة ولا يتخذون وسائط بينهم وبين الله. والمتأخرون الغالب فيهم أنهم لا يقتصرون على جعل الوسائط مجرد وسائط لا يصرفون لها شيئا من العبادة، بل الغالب أنهم يعبدونها وينذرون ويذبحون لها كما يفعلون عند الأضرحة، فيتبركون بترابها وأعتابها ويحجون إليها في أوقات معينة ويعكفون عندها ويأتون بالذبائح والأنعام فيذبحونها في ساحات الأضرحة يتقربون بها إلى الأضرحة وأصحاب الأضرحة بزعمهم أنهم يقربونهم إلى الله ويبلغون الله حوائجهم. فهذا كله من البدع وكله من الشرك، وهذا شأنهم وديدنهم من قديم منذ بنيت المساجد على القبور، كما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد وقع ما أخبر به صلى الله عليه وسلم. ووقع هؤلاء فيما وقعت فيه اليهود والنصارى من البناء على القبور، كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن من كان قبلكم كانوا يتخذون قبور أنبيائهم وصالحيهم مساجد، ألا فلا تتخذ القبور مساجد فإني أنهاكم عن ذلك. وإنما حصل البنيان على المساجد، حصل بنيان المساجد على القبور وإدخال القبور قبور الأولياء في المساجد لم يكن في عصور السلف في القرون الأولى، وإنما حصل بداياته عندما جاءت الدولة الفاطمية الرافضية واستولوا على مصر وكثير من البلاد، وهم شيعة باطنية، فبنوا المشاهد على القبور وأدخلوا الأضر القبور في المساجد، وتكاثرت الأضرحة بعد ذلك في بلاد المسلمين بسبب هؤلاء الرافضة الشيعة، وكذلك اندرج تحتهم الصوفية. ولهذا فإن الواجب على المسلمين أن يخرجوا القبور من المساجد أو يهدموا المساجد التي بنيت على القبور، وليعلم بأن الصلاة في مسجد فيه قبر أن الصلاة باطلة ولا تجوز. وما يحصل عند المسلمين اليوم أمر خطير، يجب على المسؤولين وعلى العلماء وعلى طلاب العلم أن يحذروا المسلمين من هذا الأمر الخطير، ويجب على أهل الإسلام أن يخرجوا القبور من المساجد، لأن هذا فعل اليهود والنصارى وهو الذي أوقع الأمة بالشرك وعبادة القبور. فهذا هو الناقض الثاني من نواقض الإسلام، وهو أن يجعل بينه وبين الله وسائط يدعونهم ويسألونهم الشفاعة ويتوكلون عليهم، وهذا كفر إجماعا، كما قال شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى، وكما بيّن قبله شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية وابن القيم وغيرهم من أهل العلم. وهناك شبه قد ألقاها الشيطان على من يتخذ من دون الله وسائط، ولكن لعلنا نترك هذه الشبه في درسنا القادم ونعلق عليها ونبين بطلان هذه الشبه، والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك فيكم ونفعنا بعلمكم شيخ.
مرحبا بكم، حياكم الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واحدين publications of Please to have with us our noble Sheikh Abdullah ibn Sulfiq al-Dhafiri حفظ الله تعالى. This third class in the explanation of the book Nawaqid al-Islam or Nullifiers of Islam. Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad al-Abd al-Wahhab رحمه الله. The Sheikh حفظ الله تعالى began by praising Allah and invoking peace and blessings upon his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family companions and all those who follow their guidance until the day of resurrection. And said, this is our third class in explaining the book Nawaqid al-Islam, or the Nullifiers of Islam. In our first class, we gave an introduction to these Nawaqid, or Nullifiers of Islam, and talked about the importance of knowing them so that a person does not fall into them, and such that each Muslim preserves his deen. In the second class, we explained the first of the Nullifiers of Islam, and the most dangerous of those nullifiers, which is shirk, associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. And in today's class, we will explain this nullifier, which is, as the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, the second of these nullifiers is placing intermediaries between oneself and Allah by calling upon them, asking of them, and relying upon them. This is kufr by the unanimous agreement, meaning of the scholars. This is the end of the text. The other, rahimahullah ta'ala, was explaining that by placing intermediaries from the creation between oneself and Allah, people are claiming that this brings them closer to Allah, these intermediaries. And when they say this, there must be some detail, which is some light which is shed upon the topic. Because when a person says that there's an intermediary between him and Allah, we must ask him what he means, because this is not a black and white issue, as Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah mentioned. Rather, there's some detail. So if a person, what he means by having an intermediary between himself and Allah, that Allah placed an intermediary between himself and his creation. If what he means by that is that Allah placed an intermediary between himself and his creation in conveying the message of Allah, that Allah conveyed his message to humanity through an intermediary, namely a prophet and messenger, then this is true. This is true. However, whoever claims that he is in no need of an intermediary, that he doesn't need a prophet or messenger in order to know the message of Allah, then this person has fallen into kufr. So this type of intermediary, this is true, that Allah placed an intermediary between himself and his creation in conveying his message so that humanity would know what he wants from us, then this is true. And whoever says this is not true, and he's in need of no messenger or prophet, then he's guilty of kufr. There's no way to know what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through his messengers. And Allah placed intermediaries between himself and his prophets through angels who are messengers. And he placed intermediary between himself and human beings through prophets who are his messengers. And so this type of intermediary is true. However, on the other hand, when a person claims that he needs an intermediary in order to ask of Allah, that he can't ask of Allah directly and pray to Allah directly, but that he has to pray through an intermediary, and that intermediary is the one who takes his prayers to Allah. This is the issue. This is what removes a person from Islam and nullifies a person's religion. Whoever claims that he needs an intermediary in order to ask for some benefit from Allah, or protection from some harm from Allah, and that he can't ask directly, this is what removes a person from the religion. Allah has no intermediary between himself and his creation when it comes to worship. Each person must worship his Lord directly, without any intermediaries. So the only intermediary that Allah Azza wa Jal has between himself and his creation is in conveying his message. He has no intermediary between himself and his creation when it comes to worship. Whoever places an intermediary between himself and his Lord in calling and asking for things, then he is guilty of shirk. Allah has commanded us to worship him and him alone without any intermediaries. When he said, "Ud'uni astajib lakum," call upon me and I will answer you. He never said, call upon me through an intermediary, through so-and-so the prophet, or so-and-so the wali, saint, or through any tree, rock, or any other inanimate object. The mushrikun of the days of old, they referred to these acts of theirs which were shirk, but they called them by other than their name. So Allah says, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They worship other than Allah, what harms them not, nor helps them. And they say that these are intermediaries with Allah, or are intercessors with Allah. So their action, which was in reality shirk, they called it intercession. They just said that these are intermediaries. These are interceding on our behalf with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, called their action shirk. He didn't call it some act of getting closer to him. He called it shirk. Allah says, قُلْ أَتُنَبِّئُونَ اللَّهِ بِمَا لَا يَعْلَمُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Say, are you informing Allah of what he doesn't know in the heavens and the earth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better than his creation. So when he says something that is shirk, then it's shirk. It's not taking an intermediary or an intercessor, as they say. It's shirk. It's an act of shirk. He is the one who called it worship, and he is the one who called it shirk. And so this is the reality of what they do. The people who go to the graves and shrines and do what they do there are worshiping those dead people in those graves. And if it's said to one of them, you're committing shirk, they bring about a lot of satanic arguments and say that I'm not guilty of shirk. What I'm doing is getting closer to Allah. And this person, this dead person in the grave, is helping me do that. Because I present my needs to this dead person, and he's the one who conveys them to Allah. This is exactly what the mushrikeen in the times of old did. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called worshipping them. This is what Allah called shirk. And these mushrikeen of the times of old were the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself judged would be in the hellfire eternally, and that he would never forgive them for this sin that they were guilty of. They are the ones who said, the mushrikeen of the times of old are the ones who said, the Quran informs about them, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ مَا نَعْمُرُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. And those who took allies aside from Allah, they say, we only take them so that they can intercede for us and bring us closer to Allah. This is what they claimed. They claimed that they were coming closer to Allah. They're worshipping Allah through these intermediaries. But Allah called this shirk. Allah clarified how very false this is. And not only did he call their action shirk, he called it lie. He called it a lie, and he called it kufr. He clarified that the people who do this and claim to be coming closer to Allah are liars and disbelievers. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي مَا يَخْتَرِفُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ هُوَ كَاذِبٌ كَفَّارٌ. Indeed, Allah judges between them concerning that which they differ about. Indeed, Allah does not guide everyone who is a liar and a disbeliever. Whoever places intermediaries between himself and Allah, calling this an act of worship, claiming that he is coming closer to Allah, then he's a liar and a disbeliever. And Allah is the one who has judged him and deemed him a disbeliever. So this is the type of intermediary which is shirk, which is a nullifier of Islam and removes one from the fold of the religion. There's another type of taking intermediaries between oneself and Allah which doesn't remove one from the fold of the religion, which isn't shirk, but it is bid'ah, and it's a road that leads to shirk. And this is that some people place between themselves and Allah an intermediary, believing that this is a way of getting closer to Allah, but they don't actually direct their act of worship to that intermediary, like the first ones do. They believe that asking Allah by the virtue and by the honorable reputation and by the right of a righteous person or prophet is a means of having their prayers answered. So these people, the people who are guilty of this act of innovation, which is less than shirk, but it's an avenue that leads to shirk, they truly believe that no one deserves to be worshipped but Allah. And they don't actually direct any act of worship to other than Allah. But they are guilty of introducing into the religion something never taught by the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. And by doing so, they are knocking on the doors of shirk. They're getting close. So they say that a certain prophet or a certain righteous person, due to their virtue, is deserving of having their prayers answered. And so they will ask in the name of that person, due to the right of that person. This is something that leads to shirk. Allah never commanded us to worship Him in this fashion. And so this is not something legislated by Allah. Calling upon Allah by the right of some righteous man, even if it be a prophet. This is an act of innovation, and it's something which leads to shirk. We are to worship Allah directly, to call upon Him directly, not to call upon Him through an intermediary or in the name of an intermediary. We must, however, make a difference between the person who is guilty of the aforementioned act of kufr and the person who is only guilty of this act, which is bid'ah. Those who actually call upon and make du'a to their intermediaries, who sacrifice and slaughter in the name of their intermediaries, who make vows to their intermediaries. They're the ones who are guilty of shirk. The ones who simply ask in the name and by the right of so-called intermediaries, guilty of bid'ah, they haven't nullified their Islam. They have caused and they have introduced something into the religion which Allah has given no permission for. They are guilty of bid'ah and in the danger zone, but they haven't nullified their Islam. In the latter generations, however, we find that rarely do you find someone who is guilty of this bid'ah alone. Rarely do you find someone who has only taken an intermediary between Allah when it comes to asking without actually directing some act of worship towards that intermediary. Rarely do you find this. Majority of times you find that when people take some intermediary between themselves and Allah, they actually go to the extent of worshiping that intermediary. They direct some type of worship toward that intermediary. Many times you'll find that these intermediaries are so-called awliya or saints who are dead and buried in their graves, and that these followers of theirs who take them as intermediaries between themselves and Allah go to those graves and they consider that dirt where those righteous people are buried to be holy dirt, and they seek barakah by touching that dirt. They go and even make hajj, they make a pilgrimage, not to Mecca, to a grave in some other part of the world. They go to those graves and slaughter, sacrifice in the names of those dead so-called awliya who are buried there, seeking to get closer to them. This is the majority of what you find with those who place intermediaries between themselves and Allah. Not that they are only guilty of bid'ah, but that additionally they are guilty of shirk and directing some type of worship directly to those intermediaries. Since the times of old, the people who are guilty of placing these intermediaries between themselves and Allah have done so in a fashion that even if it starts out as bid'ah, it eventually leads to kufr. This is what happened with the people who began building masajid on top of graves. They fell into what the Jews and the Christians fell into of worshipping their prophets because of making the graves a place of prayer. As the Messenger said, indeed those who came before you used to take the graves of their prophets and messengers as places of prayer. Do not take the graves as places of prayer because I am forbidding you from that. When this first happened in the Ummah, when masajid first began being built upon graves, this was not during the time of the Salaf al-Salih, the pious predecessors, the first three generations of the Ummah. This came later. This came later in Islamic history, during the Fatimite dynasty, which was a Rafidi, Shia dynasty. They had taken control over several countries and never wore masajid built on top of graves until their time. They're the ones who began burying so-called dead saints inside of masjids, digging graves inside of masjids and burying them there, and going and building masajid on top of already dug graves. This only happened at the hands of who? The Rafida, the Shia. And along with them were the Sufis. It's an obligation to remove every grave from every masjid. Either the grave should be dug up and removed from the masjid, or the masjid must be demolished. It should also be known that it's not permissible to pray inside a masjid where there's a dead body and a grave. It's not permissible to pray in such a masjid. And it's an obligation upon the leaders in the Muslim Ummah, the scholars, and the students of knowledge to warn people against this, and warn people against ever making salah in such a masjid. The graves are to be removed from the masajid because this is what has caused the ummah to fall in shirk, to fall into the second nullifier from the nullifiers of the religion, placing intermediaries between oneself and Allah. This is one of the greatest causes, having graves inside the masjid. Whoever does this, whoever places an intermediary between oneself and Allah, when it comes to worship, they're guilty of kufr. And there are no two ways about this. This is by ijma', unanimous consensus. This was explained by Shaykh Rasulullah Muhammad ibn Abdul-Wahhab, rahimahullah, and before him, Shaykh Rasulullah ibn Taymiyyah and his student Ibn al-Qayyim, and other than them, rahimahullah jami'an. There is an argument, a satanic argument, which is put forth by some people in defense of this act of worship, and perhaps we will postpone this argument and the response to it for our next class. And Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.